Hello once again, and welcome to SearchSecurity.com Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, August 2nd, 2006. I'm Eric Parizeau. This week, Fortify Software Chief Scientist Brian Chess joins us to talk about the growing danger of cross-site scripting attacks. Plus, the government has a new cybersecurity chief, McAfee patches a critical flaw in its software, and once again, Google proves to be the ultimate security tool. But first, our top story. Apple Computer has patched nearly 24 security problems in its Mac OS X operating system. The SANS Internet Storm Center rates several of the flaws critical because they involve remote code execution. Worse still, SANS says there are already exploits in the wild for one flaw involving the FetchMail utility. Of the 21 total flaws, other critical issues include susceptibility to several types of maliciously crafted image files and a problem with the dynamic host control protocol when the bootDP daemon is enabled. All the patches are available on the Apple website. Next, the government has a new cybersecurity chief. In an exclusive report, SearchSecurity.com has learned that Robert Zitz has been named to take over the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's National Cybersecurity Division. Zitz is a career intelligence officer who is currently the DHS Undersecretary for Preparedness. However, DHS is still facing leadership struggles as it has yet to fill the high-profile position of Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Telecommunication. That role has remained vacant since it was created more than a year ago. It's been speculated that the position has gone unfilled because many of the more desirable high-profile private sector candidates have been unable or unwilling to lower their salary demands. However, a DHS spokesman says the agency is in, quote, the final stages of hiring someone for that position. Also in the news, several products from antivirus vendor McAfee are reportedly at risk because of a remote code execution flaw. According to a report from EI Digital Security, the problem with McAfee Security Center and its related applications could enable an attacker to execute arbitrary commands on vulnerable systems. McAfee has released a fix, but also says customers are not likely to be at risk because exploitation of the flaw involves not only reverse engineering of its software, but also assistance of affected end users. And on top of all that, security pros are facing urgent patches for several popular open source applications. Last week, the Mozilla Foundation fixed more than a dozen security flaws. The updates included changes for the Firefox web browser, Thunderbird email client, and SeaMonkey all-in-one internet application suite. 8 of the flaws have been deemed critical and could be used by an attacker to conduct cross-site scripting attacks and compromise an end-user system. Customers are recommended to immediately upgrade to the latest versions of the affected applications. And now our security spotlight. In light of last week's cross-site scripting attack against Netscape.com, and a number of recent flaws that have affected Firefox and Internet Explorer, cross-site scripting has never been a more high-profile problem. So what can you do to make sure your website and your web browser users are safe? Joining us from the Usenix Security Symposium in Vancouver to talk about that and more is Brian Chess, Chief Scientist with Fortify Software. Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Eric.
Brian, first off, for those listeners who may not be familiar with what a cross-site scripting attack is, can you give us a brief refresher and tell us why it's dangerous for websites and web browser users alike?
Sure, no problem. So cross-site scripting is kind of a funny name that's left over from the early days of the web. One of the very first things that happened when browsers introduced JavaScript is that they realized that they needed some security around it. And so they said, well, we're only going to execute JavaScript if it comes from the same website that's serving up the web page. And so the idea of a cross-site scripting attack is if there was a bug in that browser, it might allow a bad guy to execute a script even though it didn't come from the same website that's serving up the web page. These days, cross-site scripting is used to refer basically to any means by which an attacker can get your web browser to execute their malicious code. So what's so bad about that is it basically allows the, basically the bad guy's getting you to execute their code. And once a bad guy can get you to execute their code, your computer really isn't your computer anymore. And so what bad guys traditionally have been using cross-site scripting for is committing fraud, things like stealing usernames and passwords. And these days, it's getting even more sophisticated to where they may be trying to map out your internal network or exploit known vulnerabilities on unprotected hosts that are behind your firewall.
Now, regarding the Netscape incident last week, we reported that the problem was caused by its new news service, which users can use to not only post links to news articles, but also post script code and potentially malicious content. Do you think that those who visit community sites like Netscape, Dig, MySpace, etc., are at greater risk of these kinds of attacks?
So I would say that the answer is that the more sophisticated a website is, the more features and functionality that it offers to its users, the more opportunities there are for the developers of that website to make a mistake that jeopardizes the security of the site and ends up potentially punishing the users of that site. So community sites are certainly at risk, but anything that falls under the banner of Web 2.0, you know those guys have got some security exposure.
One vendor said recently that these problems are primarily a result of websites doing a poor job of securely coding their applications. What's your response to that?
Well, you know, developers do share in the blame here, but it's sort of like saying that the guy who drove a car and had an auto accident is the one to blame. Usually the driver does have a good share of the responsibility, but the people who were maintaining those roads, the people who manufactured that car, may share some of the blame too. And what I mean there is that the languages and that the methods that we use to create websites don't make it very easy to avoid problems like cross-site scripting. The practices that we teach software developers don't encourage them to make secure websites. So we've really got a community problem. It goes beyond negligent developers when it comes to avoiding vulnerabilities on the web.
So taking that a step further, do you see cross-site scripting threats getting worse in the near future?
You know, the big change in cross-site scripting problems in the last couple of years has really been the increasing sophistication of the attacker. Attackers have realized that they can, for instance, they don't need to set up their own phishing site. They might be able to phish directly off of the PayPal site. They've figured out that they might be able that they can put code behind your firewall and attack you and bypass your security mechanisms that way. Those are all indications that we've got a lot more cross-site scripting in front of us than we have behind us. So yes, I'd say this is a growing problem.
Finally, what should enterprises do to protect their end users?
The first thing enterprises need to do is be looking for vulnerabilities in the code that they create. So they need to educate software developers about what the problems are, and then they really need to make sure that developers know that security is a priority.
Brian Chess, Chief Scientist with Fortify Software. Thank you for joining us on Security Wire Weekly.
Thank you.
Finally this week, using Google to track the trail of hate speech. According to a report from eWeek, the NAACP recently received a threatening email from a Gmail account. The FBI was brought in and it used a federal grand jury subpoena to get Google's IP address data related to the threatening email and its sender's user account information. In the end, Google's data helped the FBI track the origin of the email to a law office in Virginia, where it was allegedly sent by suspect Randall Ashby II, who lived next door, proving once again that Google knows all, for better or worse. And that is Security Wire Weekly from searchsecurity.com. The latest corporate security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And be sure to check in frequently this week, as we'll have wall-to-wall coverage of the Black Hat Hacker event in Las Vegas. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.